Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Paula V here. Today, I am sharing a beautiful lady. I am so honored to have her on the show today. It is Carol Olivia Adams. She is an inspirational writer, radio host, and intuitive counselor. She coaches numerous clients. She does so much for so many people with her kindness. She's a sympathetic friend. And I am really excited today because she is going to share with us information about her book, The Awakening of Friendship. Carol, I want to say welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Oh, I love having you here. Well, please start for us with just a little bit of a background of a little information on yourself and what prompted you to write this amazing book.
Well, there are many different prompts, but I guess one of the major prompts for you and the listeners to become aware of is I, as you had mentioned, I have been I'm an intuitive counselor, and I would hear many, many stories from my clients. And I think the summation of it was that it geared me, propelled me to delve into more of the human connection of mankind, the connection between me, myself, and the client. What do they need? Because I realized that what was developing and evolving was a really nice friendship, which I cherish, and hopefully they cherish, and they still certainly give me a call. So we created a professional relationship as well as a human relationship, and some of these human principles in a human connection are in the book, The Nine Awakenings of Friendship.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And yes, you have nine different awakenings that you talk about. And after I read the book, I just absolutely loved it. And I just felt like these are all awakenings, thoughts, views that I can take into my life with everything I do, my relationships and working relationships. They're so wonderful. So I would love it if you would touch on each of those awakenings for us.
Of course, Paula. Thank you. The first awakening is the wisdom of patience. One quote is from Chinese proverbs: with charming patience, the mulberry leaf becomes a silk gown. I learned through the clients as well as developing friendships that patience was very, very much a key factor in the process of building a strong friendship. We can all have strong friendships. We can all have weak friendships. But a strong friendship, I feel, evolves or connects with a certain patience. One quote that I have here is the gentle of myself in the book is the gentle persistence of patience in friendship does not waver, and our friend learns to trust and honor our standing power. This experience encourages our dear friend to open up their hearts, and we wisely listen to their intimate story. So I think the more we are patient with a friend, the more they will open up with their intimate story. We all have stories, but an intimate story is closer to the heart. It could be something that we've been repressed in our journeys, something that we were maybe almost fearful to talk about. But if we know that we have somebody patient by our side and giving us the attention, then we know we can totally open up. And sometimes, or I think even more than sometimes, it can be very much of a healing process. Because we're simply opening up. And I have a quote in here that says that our friend enhances our healing, and he or she becomes our spiritual physician.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that, Carol. I love that.
Wonderful.
Yes. And then take us on to the second awakening, if you would, please.
The second awakening is the presence of listening. Big ears, big egos have little ears, with a quote that I have in the beginning of the chapter. A listening friend, and this is some of my sentences here, quotes, becomes our angel in disguise and nurtures our soul as the rivers nurture the sacred land. Our listening friend strengthens our inner security. We realize that we have a loyal and kind friend who nurtures our heart like the opening petals of a blossoming flower. I think when we truly know somebody is listening to us, truly listening to us, rather than manipulation or manipulating their words simply to say, yes, I hear you. But when we truly feel that their heart is expressing themselves in a very strong, powerful way, that connection, that's the spirit of the connection, is the awakening of listening. We truly feel that somebody is honoring us. And I think, especially in this society, when sometimes people tend to not listen, maybe they're more engaged in themselves, as the first quote said, big egos have little ears.
Yes.
You know, sometimes when we truly, truly engage with that process of listening, we become aware, which I have here, of the inner light and listen to our higher self. It can certainly do wonders for the soul of our friend, because I think the soul uncovers more than we realize. It could be the subconscious. It could be anything that's not necessarily up front, something that could be hidden or repressed through time. So listening is, to me, such a beautiful trait, especially in this day and age, that we know somebody is there for us, that we can actually, you know, call up somebody on the phone, and that they are there for us. I mean, on the phone, not been texting.
Yes.
Because it's easy to text, because it's not so easy to listen on texting. It's much easier and much more fulfilling and much more deeper to listen to somebody on the phone, because we're listening to their heart and their soul. So listening, to me, is a very strong factor of the human connection of mankind. And it's certainly is a very, very high vibration, for us to connect to intimate stories.
Yes. Oh, love it. Yes. And the third awakening, Carol.
The third awakening, Paul, and this is compassion. And Albert Einstein quote, our task must be to free ourselves by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature and its beauty. Compassion, to me, is something so very, very precious. I think it's also the highest vibration of love, because it encompasses everybody. It's not simply our partner, a love partner, a friend partner, or whoever it is, but it's also delving deeper. It's delving much more deeper also into the struggles of mankind. It's not overlooking the struggles of mankind. It is one with mankind. It's something that is very treasurable, because it creates much more of a oneness with everyone, without any criticism. It's just, to me, actually a very natural act, because the more we delve, the more we see that we all have certain aspects of our lives that we all have in common with.
Yes.
Each one of us has different struggles, you know?
Yes.
But compassion doesn't, again, it overlooks any type of a boundary, but there are no walls, and it seeks to understand.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. And having compassion in our heart is just so huge. It does so much, not just for others, but ourselves as well.
Yes, that's beautiful, because the more we have compassion, well, the more we be creating more compassion within ourselves, we become more human. We become the human person, the human being that we were gifted with at birth. And because of that, then we, again, it can extend that to other people. The ego, the self part, the selfishness part, becomes more or less, it's really thrown away. It doesn't exist anymore. We are one, again, with the other, and we seek, again, to be sensitive, to believe, or to have empathy for the other, and to join them with their journey, with our deepest respect, honor, and again, that word understanding, which to me is also a very beautiful trait in friendship.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's such a beautiful, beautiful feeling to, you know, have compassion. And I'm just big on love and compassion. I just think it's the most powerful thing out there. And mm-hmm. when we can acknowledge that and look at other things in our lives with compassion, I think it affects what we get out of our own lives. It affects how we affect others. That's, I have to say, that's one of my favorite chapters mm-hmm. in your book. mm-hmm. It really mm-hmm. is. So, but I'm afraid, Carol, we have to pop out for a commercial. So everyone, we will be right back and chat some more with Carol on her book, The Awakening of Friendship. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Paul.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, I am here today with Carol Olivia Adams, and she is sharing her concepts and touching bases with us on her amazing book, The Awakening of Friendship. And in the book, she has 9 chapters regarding what she calls the 9 awakenings. So, Carol, take us into, we've just brushed upon 1, 2, 3. Continue with that. I just love it. And share the number 4 with us, please.
The 4th awakening is inner security and at peace. And the quote at the beginning of the chapter is actually by Helen Keller. Everything has its wonders, even darkness and silence, and I learn whatever state I may be in, therein, to be content. Inner security, inner peace, is something that's quite treasurable, especially if we live in a somewhat of a chaotic lifestyle or life or world. To find that inner peace, inner security within ourselves. I think inner security is a very, very big challenge because we all have, and we always will have, trials and tribulations of life, which is what life is made up of, the ups and the downs. That's not going to really change. Some of us may have more of a struggle with it than others. Some of us might have an easier lifestyle than others for whatever reason. But to find our inner security and inner peace despite a windy storm is quite challenging, but also very, very gratifying. Now, when we have a secure friend in our friendship, I think what happens is that we might not feel any form of competition. It's more of a cooperation. There's much more of a growth. I say much more of the potential of a growth pattern, because cooperation can enhance that. Once there is competition, there's not necessarily growth between two people, because it's more of a mental, emotional battleground. But once that person is secure, we have a secure friend, they're there actually to help us. And they're there to their eyes have become much more wide open to exactly who we are in this present moment. So they're really, really honoring more and more again who we are without any concept, you know, of again, competition.
Right.
It's a sense of security and kindness.
Yes. Yes. And when there's no competition, when we're at peace, you know, that what that can create with our relationship and what how that can enhance our relationship. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yes, and that will follow through, Paula, you know, that inner peace. If we know we can call a friend that's more secure with themselves, we know that once we get off the phone, we'll feel that. And that can only enhance our own inner security and inner peace.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. And then that carries us on to the fifth awakening.
The fifth awakening is the honesty of courage, a quote by Nelson Mandela. I learned that courage was not the absence of fears, but the triumph over it. Courage is extremely powerful, you know, the quality of courage, because it's to me, it's a light that glows in the darkness of every moment, and fears are tossed away. They're just tossed away into the wind. And a courageous friend, I think, a courageous friend embraces much more than now and does not avoid speaking the truth in friendships. Because I think sometimes if we have fears, which we all do, but if we have some prominent fears, then we might simply not have the courage to announce what we really do feel like in a friendship. And the friendship can go on and on and be in a little bit of a fake path rather than a truthful one. So, and it, again, can become even overly loyal without the truth of it because the friend is too fearful of telling the other their friend what they really have in their heart if they had any disagreement. So it kind of links with inner security as well as courage, because I think the more somebody is has more inner security, they won't be as fearful of telling their friend and what was simply bothering them. It got to occur sooner or later.
Yes.
And with that, I think linked with that is courage, because I have a quote here that courage is a spiritual warrior. It goes forward. It's that arrow. It's always pointing to go forward without holding on to fear with any great magnitude. So a courageous friend enhances us, I think, because we pick up on their courage, and certainly it can manifest or resonate with us so that we also respect it and so that we also can incorporate or integrate that word within ourselves and with the friendship.
Yes, yes. Beautiful, beautiful. And I loved your verbiage. It's triumph over, you know, we still have fears, but mm-hmm. courage, with courage, we can triumph over them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, that's also interesting, Paul, because that quote was from Nelson Mandela, who certainly suffered many years
mm-hmm.
Locked up. And so he had to learn courage. He had to learn courage. Otherwise, he certainly could be suicidal. You know, so that word itself really propelled him to be strong and certainly use his faith that he was going to get out, you know, and that he was going to achieve his destiny, his mission, no matter what, you
yes.
know?
Yes, yes. And that... then that really flows right into the sixth awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sixth awakening is the power of faith. I have a quote, anonymous, for all prayer is answered. Just don't tell God how to answer it. Faith is also, to me, so powerful. Sometimes, actually, when we have a struggling situation in our lives, we hang on to faith. We connect to the word faith. we believe that something is going to get better for us. We just connect to it. But I think the challenge of faith is also to connect with it after the struggle, you know, to carry that faith with us no matter what. And certainly in a friendship, when our faith has, a friend has faith with us, they're accepting exactly who we are, and they certainly believe that we can accomplish whatever our heart's desire is. You know, it's also, faith has no timetable. So it's also a saying that, you know, there's no, if you don't do it, accomplish it by June 15th, it's over. It's respecting the laws of nature and the laws of the Creator. So a good, a friend that has faith in us will also, if they're very sensitive to who we are, and it's really understood our patterns of life, because everybody, I think, has a certain pattern in life. Some people have easier steps, and some people have our harder steps. Some people have practically no steps. They will see exactly, you know, how our journeys have evolved and understand, again, that magical word, understand, that, you know, that the next step will come around the corner, that there's another door that's going to open up. You know, it's almost believing in the utmost power and possibility that something will still open up for our friend, even though it's not there right in front of us. So it's looking behind closed doors. It's looking behind dark clouds. It's recognizing there's always a rainbow that's going to come out into the beautiful sky. It's simply recognizing our friend and having faith and belief that that whatever they are seeking in life, that they can achieve.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that. And the power of that faith, because, you know, in so many times we can want something and we can say, okay, this is going to happen. But we really, you know, to have the internal faith and believe that it will is going to be a huge key to opening that door and opening up. Mm-hmm. If we really don't believe it and just say it, it's completely different. But to mm-hmm. have that core belief and faith really can do so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's very magical, you know. It's yes. something maybe we can't explain in words, but it certainly is a very magical just teacher, for sure, in friendship. Yes. A friend that has faith with us.
Yes. I love that description, Carol. Magical. Mm-hmm. That, I love that. I love that. Mm-hmm. And knowing a friend has faith in us, you know, that can enable us in so many ways to do so much more, just knowing we have.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely. It's positive, you know?
Yes.
If we have something that we want to achieve and we talk to a friend who has a negativity, we might be vulnerable at that time and simply not do anything, go to the next step. But if we call a friend who has positive energy and was faith with us, well, I think that could easily propel us to do more.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, well, I'm afraid, everyone, we have to pop out for a commercial. But Carol and I will be right back. Be right back, everyone. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Paula V here with Carol Olivia Adams, and we are discussing Carol's recent book, The Awakening of Friendship. And she is touching on each chapter for us, giving us an idea. It's a beautiful read. I myself have read it and even purchased copies for friends. I love it so much. And Carol, before we begin quickly, could you please share a little information to the listeners, your website, and how they can purchase and listen to your book?
Well, the website is theawakeningoffriendship.com. anybody can purchase the book on Amazon, Kindle, and really all major distributors. There's also an audio version out now, and it's on audible.com. It's also on Amazon. It's also on iTunes. If they want to email me, it's carololivia7@gmail.com. I'd be more than happy to receive your comments or any suggestions. That would be great.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. And as we continue, we have discussed the first six chapters. Start us out with that chapter number 7, please.
Mm-hmm. The seventh awakening is the gift of generosity. And I have a quote in the beginning of the chapter by Confucius. Give a bowl of rice to a man, and you will feed him for a day. Teach him how to grow his own rice, and you will save his life. Mm-hmm. The gift of generosity, which I write about in the book, is more from the heart. It's not so much a check that you might give to a charity, even though that certainly is. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. But it's also recognizing maybe a friend who is struggling in their lives and extending their compassion and their heart to them and offering whatever is needed for them, whether it's a kindness, a kind words spoken, counseling, intuitive counseling, or just kind words spoken. But again, it's a generous friend. They give for the sake of giving. They're not looking back. They're not seeking a reward. I have here a generous friend transcends the ego and gives spontaneously. They're not seeking anything, but they certainly are sharing at that moment. I think it's really important. The gift of generosity is extremely, to me, very precious because if we know we have a friend that is very generous or generous, we know that their heart are certainly with us. You know, that they're open to us.
Yes.
They're open to us with their compassion, their empathy, they're honoring us, they're listening to us. We can combine several of the other awakenings. You know, they're patient for us, they're secure. So it's quite a beautiful awakening because it's just so real. I guess it's real because I think we've all gone through experience of lives when we've had some, you know, a tragedy or something we really didn't like. And we had friends around us, but at least we thought we did. And then some friends were there for us and some weren't. So we take a piece of paper and we certainly cross out some friends. So the gift of generosity, again, is a generous friend is with us through our trials and tribulations and offer. They offer something to us that we can embrace and certainly resonate to and feel good, I would say feel very good about.
I love it. I love it. And this takes us to another one of my most favorite chapters.
The eighth awakening, Paula. Gratitude.
Yes.
I have a proverb here in the beginning, count your blessings instead of your crosses, count your gains instead of your losses, count your joys instead of your woes, count your friends instead of your foes, count your health instead of your wealth, love your friend as much as yourself. Gratitude sometimes can be even a little complicated in a way because I think a quality that is linked with gratitude is humility. Because I think the more somebody is humble, the more they are grateful for what life gives to them, as well as grateful for, you know, the preciousness of the friendship. I have a beautiful quote here. It says, let us be grateful to the people who make us happy. They are the charming gardeners who make our souls blossom. I think gratitude is something sometimes we can't even understand. It's something that we've come to the realization that somebody is around us and that they have been there for us. And sometimes we might not even realize that they have been there. Maybe they have been there for 7 years or a couple of years, but we just didn't connect. And then pop, you know, the boiling and the water boils in the teapot, and then we listen to that water, to the sound of it, and certainly to the sound and to the voice of our dear friend. So gratitude is something I think it's extremely spiritual.
Yes.
It's with the now. It's recognizing the now, and it certainly is recognizing and being with the humility of our friend.
Yes. Oh, yes. I love that. And I personally feel that gratitude it's such a key to happiness. I mean, when we take a moment to be grateful for our friendships, for our relationships, for, you know, everything that we have in our lives, it just, you know, it springs happiness instead of, you know, what we don't have. It's all about our focus. But I really believe taking a moment every day to have gratitude is really huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. I love that, Carol. I love that. And please share with us your beautiful ninth awakening.
The ninth awakening is the essence of love. And I have a quote by Mother Teresa. On the beginning of the chapter, it says, open your hearts to the love God instills. God loves you tenderly. What he gives you is not to be kept under lock and key, but to be shared. Of course, to be shared could also be, of course, one of the other awakenings, compassion. Certainly Mother Teresa had compassion, and hopefully we'll develop into compassion. But the essence of love is... I have here a loving friend who medicates our soul with the spiritual tools of patience and the willingness to understand just who we are without bias. A loving friend creates more healing to our total being than 1,000 pills. I have here love is a healing nutrient. It is the essence of every living force created by the divine force of life. I think a loving friend, and when we know that our friend truly loves us, we can really feel it. It's not so much what they say, because a lot of people will say that they, I love you, but we're not feeling it somehow. Maybe we're in our heart, we sense that maybe we need more, or that their love isn't exactly the love that we are seeking, which is fine, because everybody loves differently, and everybody has their own life to explore and to evolve with. But a truly loving friend, I guess maybe somebody who's got certainly that word compassion with them, is just a very pure. A quote here is, I have, love is as peaceful as a blades of grass that sway to the music of the gentle breeze. A loving friend is there for us. It certainly integrates all of the awakenings, but it's something I really think isn't words as much as feel. We feel the beating of their heart with us. We feel that they are truly, truly embrace us. We feel that their love has no barriers, and we feel that they will always, always appreciate who we are. A loving friend to me is something you cannot say in words. It's because I don't know if love has words in it. Cahil Gibran said love has, maybe said love has no other desire than to fulfill itself. Meaning, it's pure.
Yes.
It's the water in the glass that goes to the top that's nurturing, you know, so that when we drink that glass filled with water, we are nurturing ourselves, you know, with the drops of water that is in the glass.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love that, Carol. I love that. And I'm afraid our time has run out. Is there any last words you would like to say to the listeners before we say goodbye today?
Well, I shall read the last sentence in the back of the book, Paula. It says, "The awakening of friendship will challenge you to reflect on the human principles of friendship. Search within your heart and open yourself up to the world of human beings."
Oh, beautiful, Carol, beautiful. You have a beautiful, amazing book here. I just absolutely
Thank
fell
you.
In love with it. And I know my listeners are really going to enjoy it. And I'm really honored to have you on the show today, Carol.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Thank you.
And to everyone out there, hugs and a happy day to everyone. And Carol, hugs and happy day to you as well. Thank you. Goodbye. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Paula here, and joining us right now, I'm so excited, is Marla Martinson. And we are going to discuss, you know, the fun things that she does for happiness. I'm going to have her share so much with you. And I just wanted to get her out there and introduce her to all of you, because she is going to be in the next show as well. So, Marla, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Paula. Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
Yay! Awesome, awesome. Well, please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and, you know, what you love about, you know, doing things every day that make you happy and
yes.
And what you have going on in your
life.
Oh,
my gosh, I could talk a long time, so I'll keep this one short. But, yeah, I love seeing Paula and talking with Paula. She's up there in Tacoma, Washington, and that's where I was born and raised. And so we've got this great connection, and it makes me happy to go up there every 3 months into the Pacific Northwest. I live in L.A., and I am a matchmaker. I've been a high-level matchmaker for affluent men seeking beautiful women inside and out for long-term relationships and marriage. And I've been doing that about 14 years. And as you guys can imagine, it's not that easy. People will say, wow, your job, I'd love to do that. Matchmaking, that seems so fun and easy. The guys are super picky, and they're millionaires and billionaires, so they're very demanding. So after 14 years of having this, you know, I'm blessed to have the job, but the stress and shallowness of it, I've really cultivated this other side, all of my interests that really bring me joy and make me happy. And because of, to kind of counteract that, well, let's just say it, shallowness, right? I started doing energy work and really delving into my spiritual practice and taking all these fun classes with my girlfriend, Julie. Every other week, we would go to this place called the Imagine Center in Tarzana, and this wonderful woman called Goddess Tahita, who owned it, would give classes in creating abundance or connecting with your guides or all these things. And we took them all. And I ended up taking one that was called Crystal Healing. And I loved it so much. And I found out I could get certified. So here I'm going, I get certified, and then I go and get certified in Reiki. Next month, I'll be a Reiki master. And this month, I'll get a certification to do Reiki with animals. And who would have known, just searching for something to do for fun would lead me on this whole other path. And I love to write. So I actually just finished a new book, which will be out in about a month. And it's called The Buddha Made Me Do It, A Field Guide to Enlightenment. And it is about that exact journey that I took. I ended up delving into a lot of stuff and got really deep into some stuff. There's a lot of humor. And Julie goes along the ride with me. So it's a memoir. And so, gosh, I mean, you know, you do something and before you know it, things sprout out of it. And it's just incredible.
Isn't that just so fun, though? Yes, we start something and doors open and we can go a direction we never dreamed we would go. It's so fascinating.
Yeah, I never in my life dreamed I would be an energy healer, or I always wanted to be an author. This is my fifth book I'm writing, but every time I finish a book and I've got it in my hands, I'm like just in awe, like I did this, I finished it, unbelievable. And so that brings me a lot of joy too. And God, there's so many things that I love to do. And now I'm writing I got this. This is fun. This is so fun. So anybody out there who maybe has a stressful job or doesn't love their job, there are so many blessings that will come out of that. The experience you have, the knowledge, the expertise that you could turn it. So these 14 years of me dealing with the most difficult clients, I've now written a kick-ass talk called the talk is about how to deal with difficult clients. I think it's Are You Being Served? How to deal with difficult clients from a real life Cupid. So I've developed this 20-minute really fun talk that I can take out there and give to corporations and business owners and stuff about how to deal with difficult clients with examples from my own business and life. And as you can imagine, as a matchmaker, I've got some pretty good stories.
Oh, I love that, Marla. I love that. And everyone out there, you must check out her website, marlamartinson.com. It is one of the most beautiful websites I've ever seen. It's amazing. And also, she has been a guest on my Voice America show, For the Love of Reiki, because we are both Reiki girls and absolutely love it, and it's just so fascinating. And Marla, I just love, the story of how you got into doing the matchmaking, and would you like to share that with us a moment?
Sure. Again, I had no idea that I would ever be a matchmaker. I didn't even know that job existed, but I had come down from Washington State when I was 19 years old, down to Los Angeles to be a movie star. And so I got into doing TV commercials. I was lucky. I got a National Chevrolet commercial and then a couple of McDonald's, and I did some things, some print modeling, but I never made enough. I never got one of those commercials where you make 50 grand. You know, it was always like a seasonal one that showed just at Christmas, or a regional one like biscuits and gravy that was in the South. So I'd make some thousands of dollars, but never enough to live. So I had to waitress on the side. So I was in the restaurant business for like 20 years and kept doing some acting, but it never paid the bills. And so at 39, I said, I cannot put on a waitress apron one more time. It was like I'd paid my due. It wasn't my dream. I never loved it. And that I was like, I can't do it. But I thought, what am I going to do? I have no other skills. I still want to act. I just didn't know what to do. And the universe swooshed in, and I met my now husband. And he knew someone that was taking over the management position at a video dating service called Great Expectations. And she knew I needed a gig, a part-time job, and she hired me. And I did the videos for the people. It was back when we had the videographers and the tapes. And I felt like a movie director interviewing these singles on what they wanted. I loved it. And then I was there a year and a half. And that's when I got the idea to write a book about, dating. And then I moved from there to a Beverly Hills matchmaking service and was there running that for like 7 years. And because of Great Expectations, they hired me right away at the Beverly Hills firm, which also was a fluke. I was looking in the backstage West, the back of an actor's paper, and I needed a job again. And it said, talent scout, fun job, Beverly Hills. That's all I knew about it. I thought, heck, I'll show up. I had a friend who was trying to talk me out of it. Don't go. It's probably a scam. Don't go. I said, heck, what can I lose? I walk in the door and it was a matchmaking firm. So.
Oh, I love it. And you also, something that listeners can check out before the next show, you have a YouTube channel.
Oh, I've got my YouTube show, Conversations with Cupid. And guess who's been on, you guys? Our own Paula V. We talked Reiki. And I've got, gosh, by now about 175 videos up there. I interview experts on spirituality, health, wellness, business authors, all sorts of things. We talk about everything positive, everything to help people have a more joyful life. There's even some amazing channelers, angel communicators, people channeling entities and aliens and some wild stuff. So if you're into that, which I love channeling. So if anybody's into that, you have to check this out. And it's just, look up my name, Marla Martins, in YouTube, and my last name is MARTENSON, and then it's called Conversations with Cupid. So I would love to see you guys there.
Oh, I love that. And when you come on again, we'll discuss all the different avenues, that the directions you're taking, your books, your energy work, everything. It's just so fantastic. I just love it. I feel so blessed.
Good thing I'm a Gemini, so there's two people here to get all this done.
Yes. All this fun. And in the next interview, we are going to talk about little things that Marla loves doing that makes her happy. And that's going to be a lot of fun, because isn't it true, Marla? We all have those little things that we do that really bring joy to our lives.
Absolutely. Yep. And I have a lot of those. So listen in and find out what they are. We'll see if yours are the same, or you have any of the same interests, you guys.
Yes, exactly. And we can hear a little more about your new book coming out too. So your fifth book, that is just so fantastic.
My fifth book and it's my third memoir. The first memoir was Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker. And then the sequel, Hearts on the Line, The Elusive Pursuit of Love in the City of Angels. And then this one is The Buddha Made Me Do It. And then I have a short story called Amateur Night, which, if anybody's ever been a waitress or waiter, this one is about my days in Chicago working as a waitress on one fateful Valentine's night. And it's if you guys sign up for my newsletter, you get that for free. It's a short story, 5,000 words. It's super funny. So if you sign, you'll go to my website, you'll have a chance to sign up for the newsletter, and then you'll get that Amateur Night for free as a gift.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I have to read that. Marla and I, we actually have the waitress connection as well. I was 27 years in a restaurant working there and then buying it. And so we have so much in common. We are definitely
restaurant sisters. Veterans there.
Oh, yes. Oh, I so look forward to our next chat, Marla.
Me too.
This is going to be fun. I will enjoy having you on this show as much as I did on my Voice America show. It was so fantastic. So everyone, check out Marla's website and her YouTube channel until we chat again. And a big hugs and a happy day to everyone. Marla, thank you. And a happy day and hugs your way as well.
Thanks, Paula. Bye, everybody. Angel kisses.
Bye.